It's time for Let's Talk Legal with Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell and Collins. If you have a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now at 252-222-4848.
And we'd like to welcome Cecil Harvell, who's calling in on the phone this morning. Good morning, Cecil.
Good morning, Mike.
There,
how are you?
I am fine. There you are. And Wes Collins in the studio here with us. And now we are ready, gentlemen, to Let's Talk Legal. Good morning, Wes.
Good morning. If you can turn up Cecil's volume just a little bit, that'd be great.
There we go. Say something, Cecil, so I have the volume modulated properly.
Good morning. Good morning.
All right.
Okay,
that's
coming
good.
In 5x5. So I guess our topic today, I was excited about this. I feel like I'm in law school, first year of law school. The basics of litigation.
Well, we're going to cut through all the crap because...
good.
Because... The beginning of you know, learning about litigation in law school, civil procedure and all that is it's not that exciting. It's a little scary, to be honest with you, but nevertheless, we're going to talk about just the basics of litigation, what listeners out there need to know about in the event they've been in a lawsuit before or had one going on now, they're planning to defend it, you know, whatever position. Or just to educate, you know, folks.
What is litigation? What's the term mean? Basics
right.
of litigation.
Well, I mean, there are different types of litigation. These are lawsuits. You know, people ask me all the time, what kind of law do you do? You know, that's a very common question. It's relatively broad, practicing in Eastern North Carolina. But a lot of what I do at Harvell and Collins is litigation. And, you know, what that is lawsuits. So what does that mean? To some folks, that means... You're dealing with traffic tickets. Isn't that a lawsuit? Well, it is kind of a lawsuit, but it's more of a criminal advancement of a crime. You know, dealing with that
low
through
level.
The district attorney. Does that mean that's something that's criminal? You defend people who got in trouble? No, not really. What it is it's a lawsuit is when one party, one person sues another person, or it could be multiple people suing another person or multiple other people or companies or LLCs or corporations about something. I mean, that is really the very grassroots basic definition. This lawsuit is someone is being sued about something. So in order to start the ball rolling with a lawsuit, there has to be a claim. You can't just decide you're going to sue someone because they looked at you wrong or because they did something that is within their rights. For example, it seems neighbors sometimes have issues and they end up, in many cases I've had, it's just kind of like front and center right here on a couple of things I'm dealing with. They use surveillance cameras, and they point them at each other.
Right.
And they feel as though my rights are being infringed. You're within your right to use a surveillance camera.
Yeah.
I mean,
as creepy as it sounds.
Yeah, it's creepy. So I can't go sue your neighbor because he has a surveillance camera on you. Now, If your neighbor has torn your fence down, if your neighbor is trespassing on your property by using your property, if your neighbor has assaulted you, if your neighbor has done something where he has breached your right, he has done something civilly that he's not allowed to do under the law, then your neighbor could be in a position where he's a defendant in a lawsuit, plaintiff versus defendant. These other, certain other type cases, obviously, if there's money owed, it could be a collection situation. It could be a credit card situation where maybe, the credit card company is suing you because you owe money purportedly on the credit card and you're the defendant on the lawsuit. It could be breach of contract for the purchase of a house. Could be, breach of a business contract. Could be land related, such as property line dispute. Where's the property line? So, this is 5% of the different types of lawsuits that we deal with.
It sounds like there's a lot.
There's a lot. There's a lot.
The old adage, you could sue a ham sandwich, So, it's I guess it's a low bar, but there's quite a few. There's a myriad of different topics that you could sue somebody on, litigate.
And probably the most known and understood lawsuit would be a negligence type lawsuit, car accident.
Okay.
Someone is hurt in a car accident and the issue could not get resolved by settlement, then that could be a plaintiff versus defendant you know, lawsuit. There mm-hmm. could be potential insurance issues where insurance companies are involved as even parties to the lawsuit. Lots of moving parts with regard to all of that. But again, we're kind of keeping it to the basics today. So what we started out with is just a very general and broad description of what is a lawsuit. So when folks say to me, Mr. Collins, what do? Well, I handle all these different types of lawsuits. And a lot of the type of lawsuits that I deal with, really very broad, like I indicated, but a lot of estate-related issues. As we've talked about before, mm-hmm. we've really dug into, on the program, will caveats.
Yep.
Issues with regard to trust challenges, declaratory judgment actions dealing with trust.
Guardianship actions.
Guardianship cases, which is kind of that's a quasi-type litigation case, because you see your typical plaintiff versus defendant case, you know, you have a right to a jury, you know, you're going through a discovery process, you're working the case up for a period of time, and then it's tried before a jury if it's not settled. But for example, a guardianship, that is litigation, but it falls under a particular statute where there is a very limited right to a jury. Almost all of the issues in a guardianship, in most cases, fall under original and exclusive jurisdiction with the clerk of court. So that's the clerk has a lot of is kind of the judge mm-hmm. on just about all of that. Although there is a right to demand a jury under certain parts of a guardianship. That's just a matter of understanding how that statute works.
And Cecil, Wes has laid out a lot of different terms here, and you guys have been practicing law for decades, went to law school and all that. But for listeners out there that are kind of new to all this, some of the terms, like for instance, what is the guardianship? What does that, in layman terms, what does that mean?
Well, a guardianship is a proceeding whereby it is believed that someone is unable to either care for themselves or to care for their property and their assets, and then therefore they are at risk. They are doing things that either could potentially harm themselves, meaning their body, they're not taking their medication, they're suicidal, they're doing things that could affect their well-being, or they are at a point where they just simply are unable to handle their finances. Maybe they are giving large sums of money away. Maybe they are very vulnerable and subject to a great deal of influence. Someone could stop and knock on the front door and get a check for $5,000. All of these kind of things would be factual situations where we would potentially have to lead a client, family member, to a guardianship table.
Okay. See, I would have flunked that part of the pop quiz in my first year of law school. I would have thought it dealt with minors and guardians like that, but
it can. Mm-hmm. There's a particular yeah. part of the statute for minors okay. if they're under 18. Mm-hmm. But what we're referring to is the part of the statute that deals with an incompetent adult.
Okay. Okay.
So there are two different elements. So it all falls under 35A, which is a statute, but that we deal with. But you know, when you're talking about appointing a guardian for a minor, the standard is relatively low. Mm-hmm. They need to be a minor, and there needs to be a need for a guardian. Mm-hmm. And we could go kind of across the board there. Sometimes you just need a guardian because the minor's rights are being affected in litigation, mm-hmm. okay? Or you could need a guardian in a dire situation such as, you know, the sole living parent or both parents have passed away, you know, that type of situation. So it can become contested. But the threshold issue with regard to a guardianship for an adult is this person incompetent, meaning do they have some type of medical issue, some type of cognitive issue that affects their ability to be able to make informed and lucid, rational decisions for themselves. And in the event you don't have that, there's no guardian.
There's no guardian.
Right,
okay.
Right.
That makes sense. Yeah, and you know, again, I'm speaking here naive to a lot of this, so, and maybe some of our listeners fall in that same boat, but basics of litigation is the topic we're talking about. Does all litigation go through a court with a judge, perhaps even a jury, or can it be settled between two parties, the attorneys for one and the attorneys for the other?
Right. Well, we always encourage, you know, before we end up in court, or in filing the lawsuit. I think we'll get to that in just a minute. We'll talk about what does it mean to file a lawsuit.
What does that mean?
What's
the
answer and all that. Right. We encourage folks to try to work things out, and certainly, you know, we try to facilitate resolution of the case for our clients before we go to the level of the lawsuit. You know, just speaking with a client yesterday, and this is very common speech, but, you know, you try to work it out first, and you do that by, you know, kind of asking, you know, let's see if we can work this out. Are you willing to do this? Are you willing to do that? You know, you're communicating with opposing counsel, so on and so forth. But once you've exhausted that asking, well, then you got to start telling. Mm-hmm. And when you start telling, meaning telling them what they have to do, you're asserting your rights in court.
You need an arbiter.
In a lawsuit.
Right.
Now, as a part of that, in most cases, especially superior court cases, which is the bulk of the cases that I deal with, they're automatically ordered to mediation. And we can talk about what mediation is as well, which is basically a part of ADR, alternative dispute resolution, which is basically where the parties come together with a mediator. This is someone who's skilled and trained in helping the parties to facilitate communications, mm-hmm. For purposes of getting the parties to hopefully see eye to eye and reach a resolution of the case by settlement, as opposed to going through the uncertainty, the expense, the emotional, you know, aspect of the litigation going forward. Mm-hmm. So there's a public policy, obviously, toward facilitating and supporting settlements. So that is why our judiciary has mandated this mediation requirement. If you're in court, you got to go try to mediate.
Yeah.
So that happens. There's also arbitration. I mean, that's another. Sometimes you arbitrate a case instead of trying it, and arbitration is more of like an informal trial with maybe either an attorney as the judge or a group of three attorneys as a judge. Mm-hmm. And that is another way that you can resolve a case. You either do that by agreement, meaning the parties agreed, let's arbitrate the case instead of going to a jury. And let's let it be binding,
and
so nobody can appeal.
Right.
Okay, so it's over.
Right.
Or it could be by a contract you've signed. I mean, there could be an arbitration provision. In the event there's a breach in the contract, well, the case may be forced to go to arbitration. You may not even have a right to go to trial because of that contract in the fine print that mm-hmm. you signed. You
yeah.
know, that you didn't.
I think the listeners hear the term mediation in regards to like labor strikes, whether it be unions versus a manufacturer or sports, baseball. We heard about mediation
right.
over years. So people are
yeah.
kind of familiar with the term mediation. I think it will be interesting for the listeners to learn the basics of how to file a lawsuit. And let's do that when we come back from our first break here with Harvell and Collins. We're joined on the phone with Cecil Harvell, Wes Collins in the studio. If you'd like to reach them after the show, call Harvell and Collins at 252-726-9050 or go online to harvellandcollins.com. You're welcome to join this conversation by calling 252-222-4848. We'll be right back after this quick timeout, and we'll talk about how to file a lawsuit next. Welcome back to Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins. Joining us in the conversation, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins, and we're talking some of the basics of litigation. And this will be interesting. I want to hear about this. How do people file a lawsuit? What's involved?
Well, Mike, let's take a minute, and I think this is a great program. We'll continue with it next week. First of all, can you hear me okay, Mike?
Yeah, you're fine. You're coming through clear.
Okay, great. Yeah. I think it might be helpful for our listeners to know that this is kind of my opinion, that there's kind of a Roman numeral 1, 2, 3, and 4 to litigation and to a lawsuit. And the first thing that is the first section of a lawsuit is what is called the pleadings. And that's what we're about to talk about, and talk about in more particularity, the complaint, the answer, the counterclaim. Those are called the pleadings. After the second section of litigation is what's known as discovery. We've talked about this, Mike, many times on the program, where the lawyers take witness statements, depositions, they ask questions of different people called interrogatories, and they begin to discover and sift through the information. The third section of a litigation or a lawsuit would be what we call the motions before the court. And we've talked about these too, haven't we, Mike?
Oh, yeah.
We've talked about
many times.
Summary judgment and directed verdict and motion in limines. But this is where the court now gets involved after the pleading, after the discovery, and begins to kind of define and carve down the issues that might go before the trial judge and or the jury. And then, of course, the last section of the litigation would be just that, the resolution. Is it a bench trial, which means that it's a trial before a judge, or is it a jury trial before a jury? And then, of course, there would be resolution. Of course, then there's appeal, but we won't go there. But if our listeners this week and as we go into this next week can think of these four sections, you know, pleading, discovery, motions, and then resolution. And so with that said, let's start with the pleadings, and absolutely, Wes is going to explain what a complaint is.
Okay. What is a complaint, Wes?
Well, the complaint is the document that you file to start the lawsuit. You've heard it before, summons and complaint.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So basically what that is it's a very important document setting forth who the plaintiff is, who the defendant, plaintiffs or plaintiff is or are, and defendants, who they are, jurisdictional issues such as, you know, why are we filing it in this court? Where are these parties, citizens and residents of, setting forth the basis of the claims, indicating whether you're requesting a jury or not, you know, setting forth, like I said, the claims. There could be multiple claims. That is what gets filed in the appropriate court. I mean, that could be jurisdictionally. I mean, if it's a very small level case, it could be in small claims court even. Mm-hmm. And that's more of a form type document that you can file. You can really go to the clerk of court and fill that out by hand. They'll kind of tell you how to do it. And
more
that starts the process.
Yeah.
That's up to $10,000 now is where we are with that. Lesser used would be district court, you know, for these type cases. District court mainly is misdemeanor, criminal, mm-hmm. and domestic. And is not really lawsuit, but also, you know, a domestic case, divorce case, equitable distribution, that is a lawsuit. But that falls into its own category. And then Superior Court is the highest level of state court in North Carolina. That's $25,000 or more as far as the amount in controversy. So that's where that complaint would need to be filed. In the event that the case needs to be filed for whatever reason in federal court, that would be there's lots of jurisdictional issues. You may have a choice as to whether you want to file it in state court or federal court,
mm-hmm.
or the case could be transferred to federal court. Then you file it with the complaint summons in federal court. Then you need to get all the parties served, obviously. So we're filing our due process rights. And then we're off and running with regard to the lawsuit once all that is done properly. The parties who are defendants in the lawsuit then have 30 days, if we're in state court, or 20 days in federal court to answer, file their answer, meaning they're going to answer all the allegations. Mm-hmm. They may raise a counterclaim, say, okay, well, you're suing me for this, but I'm suing you back for that, mm-hmm. for that. Raise affirmative defenses, like things such as statute of limitations, statute of frauds, and what I mean by that is that, you know, let's say that they're raising an issue that, well, fine, this case is too old, the statute of limitations. And there are certain statutes that say you can only bring, for example, a personal injury case within 3 years of the harm.
Okay.
Okay. So if you file that lawsuit 3 years and a day after the harm, then you're too late. Statute of limitations, you're out of court. Mm-hmm. Statute of frauds will be another affirmative defense. Certain types of contracts have to be in writing. And in the event you don't have that writing, then you raise that statute of frauds. Oh, not in writing. Statute says it has to be. You're out of court. But then you'd have a hearing on that. The judge would decide, of course. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So
you might need to add a party.
Right. You might have to bring a cross claim. There might be a motion under a 12B motion, which is a motion to dismiss. Cecil said add a party. It'd be a 12B-7 to add a necessary party. Like if someone's rights are being affected by this lawsuit, then, you know, they have to be at the game. They have to be at the table. So if the plaintiff didn't bring them, either you can file a motion to have their case dismissed until they do bring them into the case, or potentially the defendant would make the decision to bring them into the case. So you can see it gets very tangled.
There's a lot of elements.
There's no doubt that it gets very tangled. I get the question quite often, do I need a lawyer for this situation? And, you know, the answer to that is really, I think, pretty simple. If you're in small claims court and the other side has a lawyer, then you probably do. But there's not a whole lot of risk if you don't. And mm-hmm. the reason why is because you get a do-over. If it doesn't go your way at trial, you have within a 10-day period of time to file a notice of appeal de novo. And that means you start completely over in district court.
It's a mulligan. Yeah.
Right. So it's best to say, yes, you do need a lawyer, but remember that as it relates to small claims court. Any other court, I would say you need a lawyer.
Yeah. Let's take a break on that note, gentlemen, and we'll come back with our closing segment here. We're talking with Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins, talking about the how to file a lawsuit. We've kind of unpacked item number one there, Roman numeral one. There's three more to go. We'll probably continue this conversation for a later show, but we'll come back and have our closing segment after this. You can reach Harvell and Collins after the show by calling 252-726-9050 or go online to harvellandcollins.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins, and we have a few moments left in today's show. I'll kick it off to either you, Cecil, or Wes.
Well, so, I think that to refine what Wes is saying regarding these different pleadings and elements of the pleading, you know, the complaint, the counterclaim, the cross claim. Mm. In the state of North Carolina, Mike, it's interesting for our listeners to hear that the word in the law is what's known as notice pleading. The words that one uses in a lawsuit, although they're very, very important, the bottom line is that the overall objective is to put each other on notice of what the allegations, the problems, the complaints, the issues are. There is not a particular, it must be phrased this way, or the words must be used in certain sequences or things of that nature. Again, do the pleadings give the other party and give the court notice of what the issues happen to be? And this is important because it basically means that, you know, Wes, let me let you kind of continue there, but it's important because of the fact that that there doesn't have to be particularity except under certain circumstances where that is the exception to the rule.
So we have 10 seconds. So let's make a note of that certain circumstances of particularity. I'll try to remember to pick that up next week.
We'll do that. I'll make notes as well. And thank you, gentlemen.